kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm trying not to burn my mouth with my tea.
Your tea?
Tea. I'm spilling the tea over here. We're a tea spill channel now. Surely some gamer has said some dumb thing to talk about this week, I'm sure.
Probably.
We got this. We're a tea spill now. Don't spill the tea. First, it's hot. And second, it's expensive.
Is it?
The good stuff is. Oh, okay.
I've heard about that. I've heard that about good stuff before as well.
So. Lily sent me some that was hot cinnamon spice, and I love spice. All things spice. I've been dreading every time I've had to tell somebody that was my favorite tea so far.
Because of the reason I just pointed out?
Yep. Yep.
Sweet.
Every damn time. But I looked it up. I mean, I guess in theory, it's not expensive, but when you buy groceries with food stamps, plopping down $15 for tea is.
Yeah, that's that kind of much. You.
But David was like, well, it's not like I ask for a whole lot of shit on a regular basis anyway. And if it's the one flavor I do like, you should probably get it.
Yeah, true.
But this one, my sister, tonight I have chocolate mint tea, which is surprisingly really good.
Chocolate tea?
Yeah, it's chocolate mint flavored. Like, the chocolate is pretty potent when you, like, take a sip, but the mint is, like, this really nifty aftertaste. And I love mint anyway, so I'm down for this. It's almost a little Christmassy. Feels like it's the wrong time of year for it, but...
Root beer is my jam in chat saying a fake reviewer got caught plagiarizing reviews and selling game codes yesterday again. Yeah, I know. I don't know if that's related to the one you sent me.
It is. But yeah, I don't know about you, Joe, but I knew. I mean, it's one of those, not necessarily an unwritten thing, but there just are people in the community that are shitty.
Yeah.
And they do shitty things. And it's one of the reasons that legitimate, you know, reviewers like us.
Yeah. Why we struggle sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't want to say anything excessive about it either, but.
It's just a shame when people make things harder for us to do our job in our show because they want to profit off of what we do.
And I mean, it's not, the sad thing is that they're not the first ones to do it.
Oh no, not at all.
And they won't be the last ones to do it.
I've reported so many people on eBay that I've seen, I would look for games that they're selling resell codes and I'll contact the developers and be like, hey, this person is selling codes on eBay. Are you aware of this? I won't just say, hey, this person is reselling. Go get them. I'll ask if you're aware of this because it might be a legitimate thing. It might be someone who got a code legitimately and they're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
But when it's someone who's selling like 8 copies of a game,
yeah,
and then they have a bunch of listings for like 20 other games, something's wrong.
Yeah, I know that Macca has been known to, he will flat out buy them and then send the code to the developers and say, you know, this whoever you gave this to initially, because developers keep track of that shit.
They
know who they gave the codes to.
Yeah.
Community managers, PR people, that's their damn job. So, I mean, I know Macca has said before that he's bought and turned them in every single time and gotten the person blacklisted and as it should be. The thing that bothers me with it is that when there is the big outcrying about it publicly on Twitter and things like that, it makes all of us look bad.
It does.
And then it makes it harder. That's why you'll have community managers like, seriously, Kara, who I'm sure is a lovely person, but she has just this god-awful opinion of small reviewers, and she shits on us all the time.
I don't know who that is.
I can't.
So I guess it's a good thing.
I can't remember who she's the community manager for, but she's just, she has no chill when it comes to smaller reviewers. And that attitude is bred by the behavior of people like we, you know, we are currently seeing.
I'm glad you went further with that sentence, because for a second I thought you were referring to them as bread, as like edible bread. That's no. How that attitude is bred. I'm like, what the fuck slang are you talking about? Am I that old that I don't know what something when they're bred is? Is that
let's get this bread, gamers.
Is that like calling something based? Which I don't get that either.
I never got that one either. I do get basic. I understand why people say the basic, but also
no time for I've games. Been the 70s band Bread. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I'm old, but I ain't that old. Maybe I'm that old. What did they sing? If I know one song, then I'll be like, fuck.
Oh, Christ, I don't know. That's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to look that up.
Man.
Oh, yeah. So should we talk about some other news that happened this week? Some good stuff?
Yes.
A bunch of games got added to Game Pass. We went over the E3 lineup of how like 20, 30 games got added to Game Pass. Well, three more joined them last week with nice. Die for Valhalla, Dying Light, and Torment, Tides of Numenera.
So Dying Light actually did go. I thought when I saw that I didn't see it on the official Game Pass one. I just saw it in mention on Twitter, and I was like, oh, that's just speculation or wishful thinking on somebody's part. I didn't realize it actually went in.
Nope. According to True Achievements, they are officially in Game Pass, and it happened last week after we did our shows.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's why we're always a week behind on the news, because we record on Thursday nights and shit goes awry on Friday.
Yes.
Every goddamn time.
Well, some games that got added to Game Pass literally today: Resident Evil Revelations and Rare Replay, finally.
Oh!
Yeah.
Rare Replay wasn't already there?
No, surprising, huh?
What?
But?
Genuinely surprised by that. Did not spill my tea, though.
Cheeto or tea, though?
Tea, though.
Okay. I thought you said don't spill my Cheeto.
I mean, don't spill the Cheetos either. Fuck, Joe, food's expensive.
It is.
Especially the junk food.
Yeah, very true. That's not all for Game Pass, though. Next week, we're getting two more games added, with Torment, Tides of Numenera for PC, and mm-hmm. Goat Simulator on PC and console.
Oh, fuck, don't let number three see that. Jesus, she puts Goat Simulator on every device we've got. It's the only other thing that rivals Minecraft in this house.
Oh, my Lord.
Is Goat Simulator. And then, I always just assumed Goat Simulator was fine, and I've never played it, and I know she loves the shit out of it, and I think, she's little, she can't do much, right? And then, she finally plays it on the big TV in here. On my Xbox, and then I look over and she's trying to convince her sister to find her goats to sacrifice for a demon goat, and I'm like, god damn it.
Yeah, Goat Simulator's kind of fucked up.
The fuck was I and then it's just too, can't do anything about it after that point. She already knows how to do the sacrifice, might as well let her carry out a ritual.
Yeah, I mean, why stop her now?
Why stop her now? Lord knows, she's probably already done it 74 other times on all the other devices she got it on. So what's it matter at this point?
Awesome Prime saying that the Goat Sim MMO expansion is fun as hell. I've never played the MMO one.
I haven't gotten any of the expansions, and I really should. That should just be on my list of, stupid, cheap, easy Christmas presents.
Stupid shit to own.
Yeah, I mean, she would enjoy it, so shit. Whatever. Catch it on sale for, I'm sure it goes on sale stupid cheap all the time.
Yeah, I've seen it on sale quite a bit, so. No Time for Games saying, good thing you converted to Game Pass Ultimate. Seriously, we talk about the beauty of Game Pass on this show all the time, and now we have to talk about the beauty of Game Pass Ultimate, because it's only $5 more, and it includes gold and Game Pass PC.
And I am Game Pass Ultimate up until 2021.
I think me too. Somewhere in 2021.
It's nice. It's the best part of it is that for the last couple of years, I haven't paid for Game Pass or Xbox Live in a while.
Yeah, we know you win everything.
I know. But the funny thing is, like, I don't actively search out a code to try to win until I'm getting close to running out. And I literally last year won a code 2 days before my subscription was about to end.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
And then I was just like, whew. And then I was already sitting here, like, keep track. I'm like, nah, a couple months. We have to go on the hunt for a code soon. Fuck. And then I was like, nope, Game Pass Ultimate. And I'm like, well, problem solved. I'm good for a while.
Yeah, I think I got like 2 years from today or from like a month ago or something like that. It's a decent amount.
Yeah, tomorrow I have 2 years from tomorrow, so I'm good a while.
Happy anniversary. Yay. It's not all good news for Game Pass, though. There are some games leaving Game Pass that we're going to have to worry about. On June 27th, we're losing the game Next Up Hero.
Okay.
Which, that was a fun one. I ended up buying that one when it was on sale. And then on June 30th, we're losing a couple of big ones.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Dead Island Definitive Edition. Devil May Cry 4 Special Edition.
Oh, well, I own that, so I'm not worried about it. Never mind.
Shadow Complex Remastered.
Okay, I own that too.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Okay.
And Zombie Army Trilogy. All five, even on the same day.
Zombie Army Trilogy, I wonder if it's going poof because they're going to start trying to drum up support for Zombie Army 4.
I would think they would leave it in there until like the month before Zombie Army 4 comes out.
Do we have a release date for Zombie Army 4 yet?
I don't think so.
Oh. For some reason I thought it was soon.
I don't know, I could look it up. Zombie Army 4. Wait for Bing to load so I could get my Bing points, my Microsoft reward points.
Bing.
What does IGN have to say as this loads slowly? And just drags our show to a halt.
See, if you just hushed, you could have truncated silence and it would have been fine, but no.
No, might as well just point out how much we've been talking and how slow this is. And I am not seeing anything on a date, so.
Balls.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. You know what's sad, though, is like, I made Studa play Zombie Army Trilogy with me, but he wasn't really into it. And to the point that I still can't get him to play Strange Brigade with me. And I 1K'd Strange Brigade by myself because he was a bitch about it.
Not mincing words at all.
Nope. We've been friends that long. You can call each other bitches and it's fine. Also, I know he'll never retaliate because he doesn't say bitch. So it's fine.
All right. The one PR site I'm looking at says early 2020 for Zombie Army 4 Dead War.
But I wonder if maybe it's just a licensing thing and they'll bring it back.
It might be.
Because they did that with Sniper Elite. It come and went a couple times.
Yeah. We see but that Rebellion, happen with games on Game Pass quite a bit.
Yeah. And Rebellion's seems to have been pretty supportive of Game Pass so far. So I don't imagine they're just going to gank it and leave it that way.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out eventually. But as for now, June 30th, it goes bye-bye with those other four games. And then Next Up Hero on the 27th.
Okay.
Yeah, I find myself buying a lot of games that are on Game Pass when they're on sale, just because I know they're not going to last forever on Game Pass.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point. You know, if you like it, you should probably just cough up and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, barring the first party games, which will obviously never leave.
See, I don't even want to say first party games will never leave because look at Forza. When the licensing runs out for Forza Horizon 4, they're not going to be able to have it in Game Pass unless they re-up on their licensing or they went for a permanent license. But I don't know what they did.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would think that, I mean, they knew Game Pass was a thing when Forza was in development, so I would feel like they would have been smart enough to have made concessions for that.
Maybe, or maybe they feel like 3-4 years on it is enough, and by then Forza Horizon 6 will be out.
It's true.
And people won't care as much about Forza Horizon 4 anymore.
Which is kind of what happens with 2 and 3, so.
Yeah. Fine. Although I think 3 is better than 4, so.
Shots fired.
Yeah. I like the map of 3 a lot better than I like the map of 4. Like, it just feels more memorable in Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah.
I think maps are just getting too big. Or like, there's just too much to do in games anymore. I don't have that kind of time on my hands.
Yeah, it's true. David was playing the other day and he was like, you never played Forza 4 like you played 3. And I was like, I don't have the fucking time for that.
Yeah.
I just genuinely do not have that kind of time.
Yeah, although I really, really want to fire up Lego Island. That looks incredible. And I've heard nothing but good about it.
Yeah.
Oh no, Carnage is here. Hide the puns.
Shit. I say that out loud, my bad.
Oh well. Some other news, Amazon's video game division laid off dozens of employees on the last day of E3 last week.
We just point out that I forgot that Amazon had a gaming division. And then I was like, well shit, no wonder they had to lay them off. Ain't nobody even remembered they were there.
Yeah.
You know that some dude was just like walking around Amazon headquarters and was like, gaming division, the fuck is this? They stick their head in and there's like all these little people in there working their asses off. And this guy's like, the fuck are you people?
Get these nerds the fuck out of here.
That's probably exactly how that went down. I feel bad for anybody that got laid off. But for the record, no. That's probably how that shit went down.
Yeah, they're also said to have canceled some unannounced games, although a total hasn't been noted or revealed, at least that I've seen. But canceled games and laid off employees are never good.
No.
So hopefully they all get back on their feet soon.
Wasn't there another studio that shut down or is laying off?
I don't know. Possibly. I'm sure there's studios getting shut down all the time anymore.
I know. But there was one specifically, and I cannot remember who it was.
I don't know.
Maybe it was Amazon and I forgot just like that.
Could be. Telltale.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you hear Telltale shut down? Man, what news.
I mean, we're behind on everything else, so fuck.
That's like the early days of the show. Like, it was a running gag for months. It's like, oh, THQ shut down. Did you hear about that? And now no. THQ Nordic is back and bigger than ever and releasing THQ tons of shit.
Pissing on everybody. Like, shut us down. Watch this.
Yeah. We'll show you sons of bitches.
Oh, instead of hold my beer, it's hold my coding language, fuckers.
Some fun news. Nintendo has announced that Dr. Mario World will be launching on iOS and Android on July 10th. So a mobile Dr. Mario game.
Did you say Android?
Yes.
Huh.
July 10th. Pre-registration is open now. I don't know what pre-registering on mobile does for you, but it's available now. So there you go.
I'm down for that. I'd play that.
So would I.
Is it
free to play?
Free to play.
Yeah.
Well, I got a new game to play at the doctor's office.
Yep. Free to play with microtransactions like every other mobile game ever.
Yep. Color me surprised.
Yeah. Last bit of news I have is Kerry Hopkins, EA's VP of Legal and Government Affairs, in a session with the UK Parliament, stated that the company's randomized purchases aren't loot boxes, but rather, quote, surprise mechanics, and he feels that they are quite ethical and quite fun.
Surprise! Thanks for your money, fuckers.
Yeah, that the surprise is that he's serious about this, and he actually feels that they're ethical and fun. Or at least he's claiming that. I've tried so hard to be devil's advocate when people shit all over EA. Because there's other shitty companies out there too, but everyone focuses on EA. It's like Activision shitty too. Why are you ignoring them? How do you defend this? This is just stupid.
That is quite the sinking ship to tie yourself to.
Yeah.
There's
surprise mechanics.
Surprise, we took your money.
Surprise.
EA does so well for a little while where they really just try to to not be at the top of the shit list. And then they have just one day where they will just blow that shit out of the water. They'll spend 2 years cleaning up their last fuck up. And then just when you think they're doing fine and they might have finally learned their lesson, blow that shit up all over again.
Back in mouth.
Yeah. It's the damnedest thing I have ever seen. And it's consistent. It's like you could set a clock by it.
Like, oh, it's that time of month. Time for EA to fuck something up. What day is it? Thursday? Oh, yep. EA's doing something dumb.
God damn it, EA. Stop it, because we really try.
No time for games saying that he doesn't think the outcry over Battlefront 2 was completely warranted. I can agree there. It was blown out of proportion, but it didn't help when they're saying like, oh, it's a sense of pride and accomplishment. Yeah, fuck off.
I think that was probably a case of they nickeled and dimed so long that anything were going to piss people off at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so many fuck ups have stacked up.
The straw that broke the camel's back, literally.
Yeah. And that camel are gamers as a whole.
Yeah. And gamers, we're not the most tolerant bunch. We don't put up with a lot of fuckery in the first place.
Yeah.
So when you're already skating on thin ice, we're just sitting out there with a hairdryer trying to help it along. I mean, if you want to be honest about it.
Good way to put it. Never heard that before.
That's true, though, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, very true. But yeah, that's the news I have. Anything on your end?
No, I actually went on a hunt too to like try to look for news to have, so I didn't have to sit here and say no. We see how that worked out for me because I'm just sitting here saying no, sipping my tea.
Here's something. Carnage says very random, but if you load up Asphalt 9 on Windows 10, you can get a $1 Microsoft credit added to your account. You just loaded up the game and the free offer popped up.
And then you could use that $1 Microsoft credit to up to Game Pass Ultimate.
Yes.
What?
Perfect. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Look here. I am a fucking smart cookie, though.
Yeah, Carnage saying the offer brought him to the Microsoft store and had a 25-digit code already put in and redeemed. So that's pretty neat. I'll have to fire up Asphalt 9 later on. And see if it's still going on.
I'm going to do it right now. I'm not even waiting. I want $1.
I would, but if the music starts up on the game, it'll be picked up by the recording.
Oh, yeah. I don't even have it installed. I wonder if that'll make a difference. Git. Okay. Thanks.
Click. And I know there was a recent Microsoft email that went out from the Microsoft store of like something for graduation day, and there was a cap that you could click on in the email and get a free $5 code. I got that one.
I don't ever get those emails.
Me neither, but I finally got one yesterday with that.
Sad
or today, whatever day it was.
Damn it.
I can't remember. I've napped so much recently. I am still so exhausted from my party this past weekend.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, it was a blast. I wish you could have made it.
Yeah, I ended up having to sit at church while my in-laws renewed their vows.
Yay.
To celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, our party was more fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We had someone juggling fire.
I saw that video. And then I sit here and I pout. I was like, I wanted to be there. God damn it. It was far better than sitting at the damn... Well, I didn't have to go to the church house, at least, thank goodness, because that motherfucker would have burned to the ground the moment my family crossed the threshold. We went to the lake, and we'd rented a shelter house. And thank goodness for that, too, because it was pouring rain like a cow pissing on a flat rock.
Oh, man.
Asphalt 9 Legends just got installed. Thank you.
Hooray.
Hold on to that for later.
Well, should we dive into some reviews?
I guess. Wow, we are. I wasn't intending to speed run tonight, but look at us go.
Hey, I'm good with it. I could use another nap.
And I guess I should drink another tea.
I'll continue drinking my Mountain Dew in your honor, since you can't.
I can have Diet Dr. Pepper, but for every Dr. Pepper I drink, I have to drink twice as much water.
Yeah.
And I have to have at least 3 cups of tea a day.
On the bright side, at least you were able to find Berry Dr. Pepper. I still can't.
You jelly, bro.
Very.
On payday, I'm going to go see how much it'll cost me to ship you a couple cans.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's dive into reviews, because the first game we're going to talk about tonight is called Riverbond, developed and published by Coco Cucumber, released June 9th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $24.99, also available as a part of Xbox Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate, because yay!
Yay!
Riverbond is a fun and frantic couch co-op adventure game for 1-4 players set in a stunning voxel world. Embark on a heroic journey to complete missions, battle adorable enemies, and smash everything into tiny cubes. Will you and your friends be the legendary heroes of Riverbond? Cole, tell us about it.
So, Riverbond takes the isometric dungeon crawler genre and strips it down so that it's suitable for all ages and skill sets. You do not have to be a super mega badass to roll through this game. There's no RPG elements. You don't have to level up. You don't have to sit and grind out for loot or gear. It's just pick up the controller and press start.
And yay.
It's a beautiful aspect, because you're not going to believe me, but I actually started playing Diablo 3 today.
What? Why?
It was gifted to me.
Interesting.
And I got peer pressured into Diablo 3. And I was struggling, and I thought it was so funny because I knew I had to review Riverbond as well. And the parallels were just kind of really prominent to me. And I'm like, okay, isometric, and you walk through, you button mash, you kill things, you get shit, and you go. But that get shit and try to min max out a character aspect was gone in Riverbond, so it makes it more suitable for younger players. It's also super cutesy.
It is adorable.
It uses a voxel art style. So it's not quite like pixels, but it's got that square look going for it.
Think 3D Adventure Heroes on the PS3 or 3D yeah. Dot Heroes. That's what I always tell people to think of.
It's super adorable to not just that it's got the voxel art style, but your character skins. You can fucking play as a taco.
I love cherries.
I love the taco.
And some guests from other games, which is cool.
You can play as the kid from Bastion and a couple of characters. I think Guacamelee's
in there. Juan from Guacamelee.
And there's a character from Love in a Dangerous Space Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just some generic ones. There's like a chicken. And I played a lot as a chicken. You do have 5 weapon slots, and you're just going to hack and slash your way through the game, basically. It's really kind of funny that it's a hack and slash, or occasionally a twin stick if you want to use one of the little guns. But given how like cutesy it is, I say hack and slash, and I think Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
And then I have to say hack and slash, and I mean Riverbond. And it's quite a juxtaposition. But it works. It plays really well. There are 8 different areas to play, and they have all kinds of different styles. There's, you know, a sky garden. There's underground mines. There's river valleys. There's a frozen area. It's just, there's a lot of different possibilities.
Yeah, there's eight stages.
To go through. 8 stages, and then they have a variety of levels. I forget exactly how many levels per stage, but as you work your way through the dungeons, they get a little harder. Each area is basically like a set level. And then you'll start at the beginning. There'll be NPCs you can talk to. There's chests to get. There's loot like diamonds and things like that. And then the chests will have different types of weapons. I'm sorry, but it's hilarious to walk around and smack people with a popsicle. The ice cream bar. There's the weapon classes are literally like a sword, a dual wielding, and then you have the gun option, and then you have like spears, a club.
They have clubs.
And the best part is the slap weapons.
Yes.
And you literally just walk around slapping
the shit out of people.
You can get the book and you just walk around and you're slapping them with books. And I'm sorry, but if you don't laugh, there's something wrong with you.
I love the giant hand weapon that you're literally just slapping people around with a giant hand.
They're absolutely ridiculous. I will say one thing that surprised me about them, though, given how like everything is stripped down to be so basic, there are different damage values to the different weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
I was kind of caught off guard by that. And I had a hard time explaining that to number three when she was playing. That she's like, they're killing me too easy. And I'm like, use a better weapon. And she's like, but this one's fun. Well, I don't know what to tell you then, child.
Well, then you've made your bed. Time for you to lie in it.
Self-imposed hard mode, I suppose. But, you know, that was one of the things that kind of shocked me, given how everything is very scaled down to be more child-friendly. There's no punishments for death or anything like that. So, again, just like, oh, well. You might do 15 damage with this weapon. You might do 45 with another. It felt a little out of place. Doesn't negatively affect anything. It just caught me off guard. One big thing to note is that it's very obvious you are supposed to play this with a friend. You can play local co-op up to four people. There's no
online.
No online.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah. But when you're playing the basic levels, and again, you drop at the beginning and you've got a task that you need to accomplish to unlock a gate at the end. So you'll want to explore, do a little bit of light platforming, hack and slash your way through the monsters. Sometimes it's something basic like find a key and it will be like in a hidden area somewhere, or you have to kill a certain enemy to get them to drop it. Sometimes it's, you know, collect five seeds or open three chests or whatever it's come up with.
Kill all the enemies on the level, whatever.
Yeah. It's super basic, easy to understand stuff. That unlocks the gate. You get to carry on. When you get to the final boss, though, for each stage, that's when you're like, I shouldn't be doing this alone. First off, they're ridiculously big.
Yes.
And when you're a tiny taco, it's intimidating. And they have ridiculously big health bars. And when you're only doing 15 to 45 damage a hit, it does not take you long to realize that you definitely need a friend.
Yeah.
To help you out.
I managed through, I've beaten four of them so far. I've been going in order when I've had time. I've gotten through four of them and
you can do it.
You can, but it requires a gun, and it requires a lot of time, and it requires a lot of backpedaling.
Yeah, and I think my biggest complaint, and where you say it requires a gun, is that the shooting on the gun, there's no way to adjust your sensitivity in the settings. And for me, and this may just be me, but where I'm used to playing everything with high sensitivity and being able to adjust all that, mm-hmm. not being able to made it really hard for me to actually aim and control properly. And mm-hmm. so I always felt like I was never really aiming where I wanted to aim. And so when you're doing the basic levels and you can just run around and melee the shit out of everything, it doesn't matter. But when you're going against those bosses, like there was the one Rabidus Maximus or whatever it was, where I was just like, I give up trying to even hit him. I'm just throwing the TNT at him because at least it does 100 damage. And so I was just running back and forth to all the TNT spawns, grabbing it and throwing it at him because I was doing more than actually trying to hit him was.
No.
So it's just a bit of a pet peeve on my part that there's no sensitivity option. And so
it would have been nice to have. Would have been nice to have just a hint of aim assist.
Yeah.
There's so many times I feel I'm aiming directly at the enemy.
You're
and it's
not.
Just passing directly next to him.
Yeah, I did that too.
So just like, I don't want super easy mode with aim assist that it just locks onto everything immediately, but just a hint. So if you're aiming towards the enemy, it'll be like, oh, we know who you're trying to hit.
Yeah. And that was a bigger issue when the kids were playing as well, was that they just had a really hard time with the guns. I thought it was just me, and I thought this is just my sensitivity and me being a bitch. but I noticed that they were preferring the melee weapons too, because at least you know it's going to hit where you aim it.
Yeah.
And with the guns, I mean, there's some neat ones, but
the only time I found myself regularly using a gun was the one stage I found a shotgun in. It doesn't have a spread shot, but it dealt 55 damage. So I imagine it's just shooting slugs, and it did a lot of damage, and I used it a lot.
The other one, and Awesome brought it up as well, which was also one of my other complaints. There's no reload option. So you just have to empty your clip and then wait for it to reload. You can't get into a place where you're safe and reload, which it's not hard to blow through your whole clip when you're missing them all anyway. Again, just another instance of where using the melee weapons was a better option.
Yeah. That said, though, the game is a lot of fun. I have been having a blast with it. I have become addicted to it. I have been missing Dauntless sessions because I'm choosing to play Riverbond instead.
What is this?
I know. I've been working so well on my battle pass for Dauntless, and now Riverbond came out, and it's fucking everything up. Damn addictive games.
At least it's a good addictive game. And it I think is. It's a fairly easy game for achievements as well. Like, they were just popping left, right, and fucking center when I was playing. Even the kids were going through them, and I was like, yeah! So, that's a nice touch.
Yeah. Well, overall, $25 on Riverbond. What do you say?
I give it a buy it. It's a lot of fun. Price does feel a little high, especially given that it doesn't have online. But yeah.
Like, $20 would have been an easier price to swallow on this, but $5 more isn't that bad. And holy shit, No Time for Games just dropped 1,000 biddies. You know what that means.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed. Oh wow. And your cheer shared rewards to 15 others. And do I have 15 people in chat?
Probably not.
No. So people got doubled up on those rewards. Wow. Thank you so much for those biddies, No Time. That is incredibly generous of you. Thank you so much. That was insane. And that's almost halfway to buying Riverbond.
Nice.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Another Sight, developed by Lunar Great Wall Studios, published by Toplitz Productions, released June 18th on Xbox One for $29.99. A teenager who has lost her sight and a mysterious cat team up. A cat? I didn't know this game had a cat in it.
Meow.
Meow indeed. Team up in a surreal fantasy adventure into the unexpected, weaving a tale that brings together some of the world's greatest minds, Monet, Tesla, Edison, and other historical cultural icons. Cole, what is Another Sight?
So, Another Sight is one of those games that attempts to depict blindness in video games, which is, it's an interesting concept, and it's one that not a lot of people have attempted over the years to bring to games, but we have seen it more recently with things like Beyond Eyes and Perception. Given that players take on a character named Kit, who is involved in an accident at the very beginning of the game that costs her eyesight. The way that we see the game world is dramatically affected by the loss of her vision. So in the beginning, everything is clear. She can see. The accident happens. And then everything is darkened down. But not completely blacked out. Because this uses the same concept like Perception does, where you can see by sound. Unlike Perception, where you have a cane to tap, however, Kit is reduced down to just being able to hear things around her and see in that capacity. So she's actually surrounded by a bubble, if you will, and that's her visual field. But that field can be expanded when there are sounds coming from other areas. So if there is a pipe leaking steam, almost identical to how it worked in perception, where if there was a pipe leaking steam, you could see like a ghostly blue color, right? Yeah. That same kind of concept is used in another site, only we're not in a 3D world. It's a two-dimensional one.
Mm.
So you'll have, for example, there's areas where there's electric sparking. So you'll see those blue lights going back and forth where the electric is sparking. Or if there's steam, you'll see on another site uses more colors than Perception did. Perception kept everything down to blue and shades of blue. But another site uses shades of purples, shades of blue, and shades of red. So the steam, for example, because it can harm you, is not just blue, it's red. And you can see that red element.
Mm-hmm.
To know that it's dangerous. Following her accident, Kit does come across a mysterious cat named Hodge. Hodge can be used as a second playable character. So you can actually hit RB and switch back and forth between Kit and Hodge on the fly as you choose. And you will use the two of them and their different abilities and skills to solve puzzles in this two-dimensional landscape and try to get both of them to safety and out from underground London. This takes place like in the 1900s with some funky steampunk elements to it. It's a little weird setting-wise, and it's kind of hard to describe. But like,
sounds cool, though.
Yeah, there are parts where like you're literally in London sewers and like... I think they said it was 1899 or something like that.
Wow.
So there's little hints of the steampunk stuff here and there. The dynamic between Kit and Hodge is a really interesting one because they you have to use both of their strengths to get them both out and to solve the puzzles. So Hodge, for example, being a cat, he can climb up small ledges and things and get to higher areas, or he can go through cracks in the wall that clearly Kit wouldn't be able to go through. Meanwhile, Kit is able to actually use levers and switches and elevators and things like that to move around. So you have to combine their abilities to solve the puzzles.
Hmm.
By flipping and flopping back and forth between them. One interesting thing is that Kit's biggest downside is that obviously because of her visual impairment, she moves incredibly slow.
Yeah.
But you can get her into areas where it's brighter and she's a little more aware of what's going on because of the noise. So she can move more quickly in those areas. Likewise, she can call out to Hodge and Hodge will meow back. And then Kit can see, you know, using echolocation, of course, to determine what's around her so that she can go a little more quickly for a few seconds after the cat has meowed. This is put into perspective early on. One of the puzzles will need Kit to jump across a ledge, but she won't jump unless you have Hodge on the other side of the ledge so that he can meow. And then light up where that ledge is at before she jumps.
All right.
So, and that's, that kind of dynamic is used throughout the entirety of the game to get you through it.
Yeah.
Plays incredibly well. I didn't have any problems with it. It's a relatively easy game. It's short. I didn't really have any trouble with the puzzles. You could probably beat it. I think most of the time said between 3 to 5 hours, and I was definitely closer to the 3 hour mark.
So it's kind of on the short side.
Yeah, but there is chapter select. If you miss some of the collectibles, you can just go back and get them again. It's an easy completion.
That's good.
But I think that it's a lot of fun, and I think it's a creative take. There's a lot of similarities to Perception, but it's still its own creative take on depicting blindness in a video game.
Yeah, well, $30 on it, what do you say?
That is a really high price. What's with the high prices this week? Wow. It's really an interesting game, but with a price like that, it's hard to be like, oh, run out and buy it, especially given that it's short. So I'm going to give it a try it because it's not going to appeal to everybody, but and being on the shorter side does make that $30 tag a little harder to swallow.
Yeah. This seems like another game that would have been perfect at 20.
Yeah. That's a thing this week, isn't it?
Yeah. On the bright side, it has a mysterious cat. So
it does have a cat, and the cat has one green eye and one purple eye.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's really worth $30 then.
Yep.
It's the eyes.
Long-haired. Long-haired cats are the best. I say that. I have two short-haired cats, but rude.
All of ours are short-haired cats, too. So anyway, next game to talk about is called Lovely Planet 2 April Skies, developed by Quick Tequila, published by Tiny Build, released June 18th on Steam for $9.99. A very cute first-person shooter game, sequel to the most adorable and critically acclaimed FPS Gun Ballet of 2014. And an SML favorite, by the way. Lovely Planet was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the sequel on Steam. How is it?
I'm just stuck on the term Gun Ballet. Like, it's such a weird combination of words, and yet it's such a perfect descriptor for Lovely Planet that it's not even funny. So again, it's the same concept as the first. It's a speedrun friendly first person shooter. I mean, you shoot, but that's not the major element, I guess. The goal is to get from A to B and not die. The thing with Lovely Planet is that it's so deceptive. It looks so adorable. And you're like, this can't possibly be hard. And then you immediately fall off a platform and LOL pops up and takes over the screen in big gold letters.
Yes.
So
that is so shitty. I love it.
I saw that and I thought, that's going to get on Joe's nerves. Because we all know how much you hate LOL.
My hatred for LOL has diminished in recent times because I can't escape it.
Because remember to type ha-ha instead of LOL is hard.
Yeah, I've grown accustomed to people saying it anyway, so I can't escape LOL.
It is funny, though, like, the first couple of times when you fall off and it pops up and you're like, the fuck did I just say? And then you start it again and then you fall again because you will fall again every fucking time. And then it pops up again and you're just like, this game is mocking me. And then you die again and you're like, maybe I deserve it. And it just starts to sow these seeds of doubt and it's just really fucking rude. Like, I thought I was good at shit like this. I thought I did really well with the first Lovely Planet. This one is just shitting all over me, and I don't understand. I do understand the difference. Do you want to know the difference?
What is the difference?
Mouse and keyboard, because I had to play this bitch on Steam.
They didn't have controller support?
It says controller in the options, but I plugged in my controller, the computer recognized the controller, and then the controller would not work with the game. So I don't know if maybe that's something that's coming. They haven't fixed it, patched it in yet, or if it just straight up isn't working. I'm not sure of the actual circumstances surrounding that, but the controller support did not work for me.
I wonder, what did you use, an Xbox One controller?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something where they used Xbox 360 in development, because I've run into that before, where they've tested it with Xbox 360 controllers and figure, oh, controller support's good, but Xbox One wouldn't work, and they didn't realize it. So it might be one of those situations.
It might, because my Xbox One controllers definitely didn't work, and I don't have any more 360 controllers, so I didn't get to test that. But it was definitely hard. I've been in a flare. My arthritis is already pissed. And holding down WASD and space to jump while also trying to aim and shoot with the mouse, I'm just like, I'm not cut out for PC gaming.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I stick with consoles.
Ouch. When the controller option didn't work, I wanted to cry because my hands were already sore and I was only like 5 or 6 levels in at that point.
Wow.
And there are roughly 100.
Damn, there's a lot of stages in the game.
There is so many. And again, they have the hidden secrets to find. And then, of course, you want to try to get decent times. And there is no shortage of shit to do. Just, it would be really nice if the controller worked when I was trying to do it. No. Beyond that, gameplay is pretty much identical to the first one. Just different stage layouts. One thing, though, that they did add that was nice. In the first one, if there was an enemy, like, down out of your field of view, you couldn't see them, obviously. But, like, you would run up and they would already be shooting at you and you were fucked. Mm-hmm. Now there's a little red square that indicates they're there.
Oh, okay.
So that you know going up to it, you're not just going to, like, jump off a cliff and get your killing done. I mean, you're going to do that anyway because you're bad at the game and it wants you to be. But at least you're aware of what's going to kill you before you go die.
Yeah.
I love the Lovely Planet games. They are super hard, but it's also incredibly rewarding when you do get through it. That said, it is a bit of a niche-y kind of game in that it's not everybody wants to break their neck to speed run something like this. So, yeah. You know, if you like the first, though, you're just going to feel that you're playing the first with new levels and some minor quality of life improvements.
Which and isn't necessarily a bad thing. No,
and that's what I was about to say. I don't think you would be disappointed.
Well, then $10 on it, what do you say?
I give it a buy it.
Nice.
It's hard, and I wish they'd get the controllers working. But, yeah. It's a good time if you can just get through it.
Yeah. Well, Tiny Build brought the last one to console, so I have no doubts that we'll see the second one on console eventually.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. But next game to talk about is called Queen's Quest III: The End of Dawn, developed and published by Artifacts Monday, released June 14th on Xbox One for $14.99. A promised alchemy student, Eliana, is sent on a mission to retrieve a powerful artifact. During her quest, she will fight mortal dangers and face tragedies from the past. Can she prove herself worthy of becoming a true alchemist? Cole, tell us about Queen's Quest III.
So, Queen's Quest III is one of those Artifacts Monday games that's developed by another studio and published by Artifacts Monday.
Oh, is it?
But, yeah.
My information just said developed and published by Artifacts.
Nope.
Son of a bee.
I can't remember the name. It comes up right at the very end, and I can't remember. Starts with a B. but wet waffles. Do we have to wait for the
Awesome
Prime? Yeah.
Awesome Prime drops some biddies. Here we go. Come on, play.
Wet pancakes.
There we go. All right.
Okay. So, back to what I was saying. So, this one is a little different, and that does show through in how the game plays. First off, it doesn't have the Norse mythology, Grimm's fairy tale kind of quality to it that in-house developed Artifacts Monday games have, and that's not a negative. It's nice to see them break away from that and go for something a little different. You're playing as an alchemist. You need to be able to make these potions on the fly. My favorite were the shape-shifting potions that let you turn into somebody else. And you also have an amulet in this one, which is a little odd. The amulet kind of serves like a mini game, though, almost like a little Simon Says type mini game, because whenever you're in an instance where you need to use it, you press down on the D-pad, you bring the amulet up, and then the gems will light up in an order that you have to repeat.
Mm.
And then
it's like Simon.
Yeah. And then you just click on it, whatever you want to use it with after that.
Now, real quick, developed by Brave Giant.
There we go. So, I knew it started with a B and a G, and that was all I had.
My information was wrong. Developed by Brave Giant, published by Artifacts Monday. There we go.
Okay. In addition to having the amulet, you also have a little fairy that helps you. Her name is Dahlia, and you can send her to go get the shit that's too high up or too far away from you. which was a nice change of pace. We've seen them do that in some other games before. There was one a while back, like literally 2 or 3 years ago, where you had a kitten that you could send out onto trees and stuff to get things for you.
I remember that one.
Yeah, so now in this one you have a fairy named Dahlia, and she's very handy to have around. However, Dahlia might also be the biggest problem with this game.
Oh no.
These games were developed for mobile. We all know that.
Yeah.
And from a 2D static perspective, when you're looking at the hidden object scenes, they're beautifully handcrafted. That's exactly what got me into these Artifacts Mini games to begin with, is just how fucking gorgeous they are. And this one is no exception when it comes to the static scenes. However, with the animated sequences, this might be the worst animated Artifacts Mundi game I have ever played. And I have played every fucking one of them.
Oh, no.
So my best guess is that this was developed for mobile and it was ported to the console. And so that animation just got janky in the upscaling department.
Maybe.
But it is super bad. It's just very grainy and it doesn't look smooth and it's almost kind of blurred. And it very much looks like what happens when I'm making a graphic and I pull that bitch out and it's not a vector and it gets all awful looking.
No, man.
And it was shocking, and it definitely stood out. That said, everything else about the game is classic Artifacts Mundi. The big issue with the animation being bad like that is that was their justification for increasing the prices.
Yeah.
And fine, raise the prices on them, but give us better animation. And this one is one where I've definitely felt like that improvement was not there.
Yeah. Well, to be fair to Artifacts, we've covered how many of their games? I think literally all of them on Xbox. and we haven't run into issues like this with their animations before, so it could...
No.
It might just be one of those odd situations where they couldn't get it to look the way they wanted it, and it was one of those, good enough, the game's got to go.
Yeah. And I mean, it happens, and it's not... In no way would I say it's game-breaking. It's just that I would want people to know that they're going to get that when they click on it. Because these games, they are known for how pretty they are. But they are also known that their animations can be a little janky. So this one is definitely on the jankier side. And that's a little sad. I did have one other issue with the game. There was a puzzle that glitched, and I was not able to progress past it. You have to find 12 tiles. Once you find the tiles, you interact with the board. It raises up, and you get a chest. I had all 12 tiles. It was grayed out, checked off. And yet, whenever I tried to interact with the board to get it to raise so that I could get the chest, it would just tell me that there were missing tiles. Spent forever just staring at it, trying to figure out what I'd done wrong. I ended up messaging you and saying, hey, it's broken, and I don't know what I've done.
Well, you are good at breaking games.
Right. On a whim, I know that if you're in a hop and you shut the game down, when you reload it, your continue will be right before you went into the hop. So that's what I did. And the second time around, it worked fine. And like nothing had ever happened. So it was a very small hiccup, but it was also a very fixable hiccup.
Yeah, so it might have just been one of those goofy things that happen with games that you play because you can break everything.
And we did bring it to their attention that it happened with all the information about it. So if there is something that needs patched there, they can do that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't just my own fuckery. I actually thought, like, I might have done it too fast.
Maybe.
So,
you glitch the game, haha! You break everything.
Yeah, it's true. But besides that, man, I loved the story in this one. It felt the whole story was just satisfying. It was really well paced, really well told. it didn't rely on a whole lot of the tropiness. Did have some tropes, but not quite as bad as some of the others that were like, seriously, 7 out of 9 Artifex Monday games are rooted in Norse mythology. So it was nice to get a little break from that and see a different story.
Well, overall, $15 on Queen's Quest 3. What are you thinking?
I'm still going to give it a buy it. Even with the animation. And like I said, most people know going into it that these were mobile games ported to Xbox. And sometimes it's just not going to be as smooth. And, I mean, nobody's buying an Artifex Monday game for their epic 120 frame per second animation. It's not happening.
They're buying it for the puzzles.
They're buying it for an easy laid-back game that you can just not have to think too hard about and click your way through, get some easy achievements. This might be the easiest one achievement-wise, by the way, because you didn't even have to complete it on expert. At least, usually all of them want you to complete the game on expert difficulty.
Yeah.
This one did not. It also has the bonus chapter, which usually the ones developed by an outside studio do not have a bonus chapter. So like I said, yeah, the animations are janky, but there's enough other stuff there and enough changes and stuff that it still justifies its buy it.
Nice.
I can roll with it.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next Artifex game. We have the next one on deck already, and That one looks pretty sweet. So I am looking forward to our next Artifex game as well.
I can't tell you anything else about it, though.
Nope. Not yet. Last game that you're here to talk about tonight is called Overcooked 2 Night of the Hangry Horde, developed by Ghost Town Games, published by Team 17. This DLC released June 14th for Overcooked 2 on all platforms for $9.99 or as part of the Season Pass. Night of the Hangry Horde sees players face the most terrifying threat to the Onion Kingdom yet, the Unbred. And this time they've brought friends. This new DLC introduces entirely new Horde mode in which players must use all of their cooking know-how to repel waves of ravenous undead ingredients. Cole, tell us about it, because it sounds ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. I love Overcooked, because they have no shame. They really don't.
The Unbred. I love it.
That's in the initial storyline, the Onion King uses the Nom Nom Nomicron to raise the Unbred. And that's how you get exiled from the kingdom.
The Nom Nom Nomicron. Oh my God.
It's the best thing ever. Anyway, back to the DLC. So you do get your typical levels that you normally get with Overcooked DLC. There are three areas, three chapters, if you will, with three levels, which again is not as long as the campaign, which have 6 levels per chapter. They do shorten it down to 3, but by the time you're done with it, you're like, yeah, that's fine. 3 was good. Any more than that, I would have had a heart attack. It's fine. The levels for the DLC can be used in versus mode and other multiplayer. You can use them for practice. You can just do endless waves with them. So there's plenty of options for them beyond just using them for the basic story part. Now, what else unlocks is 8 Hangry Horde levels. These change up the way that Overcooked is played. There are big, giant pieces of Unbred coming for your kitchen. In each level, these are all new levels, separate from the story ones, all new level designs with their own challenges and their own elements and their own recipes to learn. And each kitchen will have a couple of windows. Those windows have boards across them. The hangry Unbred will sit there and beat against your window while you are putting their order together.
Beautiful.
You have to deliver the proper order to the proper bread to satiate them and make them go away.
Oh, boy.
You can spend your coins that you earn your money from making the recipes to repair the windows that they beat on, because they will tear your defenses down. If they tear your defenses down, they will start to do damage to the kitchen.
Oh no.
And if they destroy your kitchen, it's game over.
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
It is absolutely incredible. Now, the earlier levels, I was kind of surprised because they were so easy. I expected lengthier hordes, but literally it would just be like 3 bread per wave. And it gets harder the higher you go.
Yeah.
The problem is that I was playing with Studa, and Studa has Overcooked, but he has never played through the entire campaign.
So you need Jacob on the job.
Yes, because most of Studa's experience is me throwing him into the DLC, and he doesn't know what to do. And to make it worse, like, the few things he does understand, like chop the food, is changed up in this DLC. You do not just chop the food. You have to put it on a guillotine and hit a switch.
Beautiful. Oh, man.
You cannot just put the food and the pizza in the oven. You have to get a bucket of coal and fuel the furnace to keep the oven hot to make your pizza. And Studa is just like, it's blue. Why is it taking so long? And I'm like, because it's cold. Put some fucking fuel in it. But where's the guy? It's the lump of coal. Get the bucket right there. And the terrible thing is like, we were on wave 4 or 5 of the third level for the horde. And he comes over to me with the fire extinguisher and he's like, what's this?
Oh no.
And I'm like, how have you played this much Overcooked with me in number one? And are just now noticing that fire extinguishers exist in the game.
Oh, Jesus. So long story short, you need a new friend.
Yeah, I need a friend that knows what they're doing. On the plus side, if the host has the DLC, and you have a friend like Studa that is not particularly good and you're having trouble convincing them to play the game, and you want to pull them into the DLC so they'll at least maybe push the button for the guillotine, you can do that because only the host needs to have the DLC for everybody else to play it.
Which is what I love about Overcooked.
They do that. It is so good. And I wish more games took that approach to DLC.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I could have convinced Studa to got Overcooked at all if it weren't for the fact that he knew he would be able to play everything and wouldn't have to buy the DLC as well. Because he really fucking struggles with this game. That said, he left and me and number one rolled through everything. We killed it. So if you know what you're doing with the game, you're not going to find it particularly difficult. Even some of the later levels. If anything, Kevin levels are my nemesis. Like, I can blow through the regular levels with my eyes closed. But as soon as it's a Kevin level and I've got to make dim sum, I go dumb. Can't do it. I don't know. But it's absolutely hilarious. It's an interesting new shift to the game. Gives you, like, there wasn't so much to already fucking do in Overcooked.
Yeah, seriously. They
gave you something else. I think that's incredible that even after all this, they're still coming up with new ways to play Overcooked.
And there's more content coming as well for the season pass. There's still one more bit of DLC to come.
There is. Because, you know, there's more recipes in the Unbred Never Sleep.
Well, then $10 on this new DLC, what do you say?
This is absolutely... Actually, I say buy it, but you should buy it just flat out by the season pass because it is worth every penny.
Yeah, I know you like the first one as well. And if you just buy the two DLCs alone, that's more than the season pass. So you might as well just buy the season pass. And there's still a
third one coming. So, you're just wasting your money if you don't go ahead and buy the season pass.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Next time you play, you'll have to hit me up and...
I am down for that. Maybe maybe you can help Studa understand how a fire extinguisher works.
Maybe.
Then we get Jacob in there and he can throw the rocks and it could be an absolute shit show.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Let's plan this.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is it. Another successful show without any re-records or edits whatsoever.
None at all.
None at all. Did you have a pick of the week?
Oh, I didn't. Ooh.
Ah, caught you off guard, didn't I?
I think even with its problems, Queen's Quest is going to take my pick of the week this week.
Really?
And you know why? I think it was because it was one of the easiest Artifacts Monday. Like, even by Artifacts Monday standards, it was an easy completion. And I've been in a super lull lately when it comes to actually completing games. Mm. And I was like, I just completed it without putting in the effort. And I kind of needed that kick in the pants.
You needed an easy one?
I did. I just needed something that I could blow through and feel good about myself.
See, my personal pick, even though I didn't get to play everything, is Riverbond, because I am just in love with this game.
I think my kids are going to take that game away. That's going to be number three. Was so in love with it when I had her testing it out, that even though like the bosses and stuff are a little above her level, I'm fully convinced that's like her new Minecraft.
Nice.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see online play included, but
yeah.
Still a good set of games this week.
I was not disappointed.
Like usual.
Yeah. I'm pretty easy to please, to be fair.
True. All I have to do is be like, hey, do you want to review a game? It's free. And you're like, yay!
Yeah, fine. Best game ever. Yay! Sometimes, though, I think that like devalues when I really do enjoy a game, because everybody thinks, well, she just enjoys everything. And I do enjoy most things to some extent. I can usually find the good in a game.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's one that just really sticks with me. Like, anytime anybody's like, oh, what's your favorite indie game? And I'm like, The Flame and the Flood and Silence. And everybody's like, oh, whatever. And it's like, no, seriously, I cannot convince people how good those two games, and Night in the Woods. Night in the Woods has crept up as a heavy contender for one of my favorites.
Wow.
And I cannot convince anybody else that they are that good, but they are.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I know The Flame and the Flood is that good. I haven't really dabbled with the other two that much, but I should.
I'm pretty sure
I bought them.
Night in the Woods, the funny thing too, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, I just needed an easy completion to kick me in the pants. But like, Night in the Woods takes four playthroughs and you literally need a spreadsheet to keep up with the storylines.
Oh, Christ.
But it's so good. Like, you could just play through it and not worry about all that stuff, which is what I did my first two playthroughs. And it wasn't until my third and fourth that I actively tried to get the achievements.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's the mark of a good game, when you could play it four times and you're still enjoying it.
And there's still, like, there was an article on it with Night in the Woods that there were more dialogue threads in Night in the Woods than there were in 100-hour RPGs.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So you cannot get bored.
Damn. That is impressive.
Now you're going to go play Night in the Woods.
Yeah, pretty much.
As everybody should.
Indeed. But we are going to wrap things up with some music. I have no idea what I'm going to play. But Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Don't throw the rice.